Let's begin Vayiskasu Sakim Ho'adam V'Habehima Vayikru El Elokim B'Choska. We began this pasuk yesterday. We began to discuss this. Okay, so yesterday we just did the Mitzvahs and Rashi. We conclude with the Rashi. I try to connect this to the Daf Yomi. Let's review again the pasuk. We're talking Vayiskasu Sakim Ho'adam V'Habehima. They covered themselves with sackcloth. Ho'adam V'Habehima Vayikru El Elokim B'Choska. They called it Hashem B'Choska. Vayoshuvu ish midarkoi hara'adi, did teshuva each man from his evil ways, from min hechamas, and from the chamas, the theft, asher b'katehem. You're throwing your balance now. Okay? Min hechamas, asher b'katehem, from the chamas, that was in their hands. Let's take a look. We did already the mitzudos, so we did Rashi. Rashi's review taught us this very interesting idea of where they were basically making deals with Hashem. Very interesting. Then Mr. Rappaport, he showed me yesterday Rashi in the Gemara, where this is cited from. This is the Gemara Masechet Tainis. Rashi there tries to really to deflate, to lessen the intensity of what they've done. If you take the pasuk at face value, it's as if they're saying to Hashem, if you do not rescind, you do not mevatel, cancel the gezera, this decree to destroy us, then we're going to starve the animals. All the animals are going to starve. We're going to tie the mothers on one side, the children on the other side, and we're going to leave it in such a state. That's not really what it means. Rashi there says that he just meant to say it's just like it's natural. Rashi, the flavor of Rashi, you have to see Rashi inside. The other farshim is that just like it's natural that children have a need to come close to their parents, so too it's natural that we want to be connected with you once again. And that's not exactly what it says there, but something along those lines. Let's take a look over the words of Rashi one more time quickly. Pasuches vayikru el lukim b'choska osru imahois levad v'avlodois levad. They tie down the mothers on one side and the children, the offspring, on the other side, and they prevented them from coming together. And they said, Ribbono shel Olam, I'm going to find it, Ribbono shel Olam, im ein ata merachem aleinu, if you will not show compassion upon us, ein anu merachamim al elu, we will not show compassion upon the children, and maybe more than the children, the mother. Think about it. Chazal say more than a child wants to nurse from his mother, the mother wants to nurse from the child. Who wants to nurse the child. The mother has a need to give, to express herself, give over, to sustain, to nurture her child. So the truth is, both of these creatures are in pain. The child is in pain because the child is hungry, and the mother is in pain because the mother has brought into the world this creature and has a need to give. So it's a very, very deep idea here, because normally in life, most of the time, when we think about needy people, the wealthy people, the benefactors, would be very happy if the needy people would go away, right? If people would not come to collect in shul, if collectors would not come around in shul, people would be very happy. No one's bothering me, okay? No one's bothering me, and sometimes the other way around. A person has a need to give, but he has no one to give to. Like Avraham Avinu, he had a need to be goymel chesed. Here, this type of situation is very unique in where both, it's a perfect shidduch. The children, the vlodois, they have nothing. They are dependents. They're licensed, they're on someone's tax return. Okay, they're dependents. They need to come on to someone to support them. And it's natural for the mother has a need to give. So both ends of the spectrum are in need of one another. It's a very profound type of way of pleading with Hashem. Anu amecha, for us, and here these are goyim, Nineveh, but if you think about this for us, it's very profound. We need you, Hashem, but Hashem, in a certain sense, you need us. You did create a world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Midas Chesed. Hashem created the world. This is the famous Yisoid from the Ramchal. If not for the Ramchal, we always talk about this, we would be lost. We don't even realize, we don't even begin to realize how much the Ramchal has influenced our thinking. Much of our appreciation of Yadus, the Hashkof of Yadus, all comes straight from the Ramchal. All of many volumes, many different Sram that he wrote. And this principle that I think, which everyone accepts, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, the purpose of creation is for the Hashem created the world to give. Hashem created the world to do chesed, to be good, to do be chesed. The world, Chazal tells us, the Torah begins with chesed. Hashem, he clothed, after he created man, he did chesed, that he provided for them clothing, malbish arumim, and the Torah ends with chesed. Hashem buried Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem, chesed in the beginning, chesed at the end. It's interesting, these are two types of chesed, of covering a naked body. Okay, so when a body, is a living body, needs to be covered with clothing, and a dead body has also, it's exposed to the elements, it has to be buried in the ground. The Torah begins with chesed, and the Torah ends with chesed. A mother has, a person is created in the Tzelem Elohim, a person has a need to give. So here we have the mothers, and we have the children, each one needs one another. Ninveh, they're saying to Hashem, Hashem, you need us also. We are your creatures. We serve a purpose in this world. You would not have created us if we did not serve a purpose for you. And we need you. So it's a good shidduch. So therefore, why are you allowing this to happen? Why is there a decree that we should be destroyed? This was their technique. It's very, very deep. Let's see, we're really in the middle of the Mamari Chazal. So let's do it again. Pasuk Ches, we only did just the first one. Let's do them all now together. Starting on page 435 on Pasuk Ches. Vayiskasu basakim odu vavahima. They covered themselves with sackcloth. Ma heavy of day. What did they do? Osra, they would tie up. Kashu es habahimos luchud v'es havlodes luchud. They separated the mothers from the children. They tied them separately. Amru lufanav ribayin shalolam im einatam rachim aleinu ein onu rachamim aleinu. Okay, next. Vayikru el lokim bichoska. They cried out to Hashem with strength. Choska, with the mitzudos David, just in the mitzudos tzion, he taught us that choska means bechol lev, with their entire heart. It's a very hard word to translate in this context. The Chazal tell us, "My amor, amru lefanav, ribayinoy shalaylam, kishe yeshnam shnei anashim, oluf," an oluf means a person who is insulted. Shesoivel elboyne, a person, he carries upon his shoulders his insult. Visheene oluf, and a person that is on a mechubat, a person that keeps his nose up high, his head up high, he's a very happy person, he's on top of the world. Or tzaddik v'rasha, another example. If we have a tzaddik and a rasha, mi nidche mipnei mi, darko shel mi levater l'ri'ehu, which one is the one that is mevater, generous. I'll just loosely translate mevat, generous to the l'ri'ehu. It's always the one that's the olof. I mean the tzaddik, and the one that is the she'enoy olof. So in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are weak, and you are mighty. It's natural for the mighty, or in this case, the tzaddik and the rasha. The tzaddik always helps out the rasha, and likewise, the olav she'enoy olav, it is the one that is the one that is soivel elbon, the one that is accustomed to accepting his insult. He steps aside for the person that is she'enoy olav. So Hashem, you, in this pasuk, what we're doing over here, according to the Gemara, which obviously is a lot more explanation than I have, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're calling Hashem the Tzaddik. That's the second example. And the first example, we're calling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the one that is the Olov. Shesoivel El Boinai. Hashem, He's tolerant. He's tolerant of insult. The whole world does not give Hashem a fraction of a fraction of the honor of what Hashem deserves, of what He has done for humanity, what He has done for every single person. Hashem, it's okay. Even though you're not giving me the credit that I deserve, I accept it. A person or a being that is has the nature of being Olav, it's his nature to overlook, to be mevater, not to get worked up, not to take to heart another insult. A person who is a tzaddik, that's the nature of a tzaddik. If someone insults him, someone is nasty, you don't get worked up. Ribbono shel Olam, you are the tzaddik. We are the rishoyim. Hashem, you are the olof. You tolerate insult. We are the einon aluvim. In this world, we find that the tzaddik and the olof, it is their nature to overlook and to be gracious, to be mevater. It's very hard to translate the word mevater. A good word? You need an expression.
Some
translated
as to overlook.
Right.
It's a lot more than just overlook.
No, it's like it doesn't retaliate.
It doesn't retaliate. You don't retaliate. Oh, you don't retaliate, right? You don't retaliate. That's pretty good. You're insulted, and you're entitled, and yet you stand down. You accept. You accept and you tolerate, and you let it pass.
Keep on moving.
You keep on moving. Very good. So look, there's a lot more to this. There's a lot more in this, but I don't know. They're saying the Chazal are taking this idea, and they are using this idea, which I don't think any of us would ever imagine to say such a mashal. I mean, what's he trying to say here exactly? And they're reading this idea into the words Vayikra'u El Elokim B'chozka, with strength. It sounds like they're presenting a very strong argument. According to the Mitzudas David, it means they called out to Hashem with their full heart. Chazal, it's Yerushalmi, it's a Gemara, it's not what it means. It means they are presenting a solid argument. They're in court, the Pamali Shalmaila is judging the people of Nineveh, there is a decision has been made to destroy this city, this country. They are presenting a very good, sound argument. They've made some very, very good points. I recently called up a certain thing, and I just to say hello, and I made a few comments, and they called me back, and they said, normally these type of calls we would never answer, but you made some very good points. And it's our duty to respond. Because you said something which was, well, oh, that wasn't me. Wait, I saw
it.
Trouble court, exactly. So that's exactly what it means over here. They called out Bichozka, they made a very good point. And this point could not be ignored by Hashem. They called out with sound reasoning. A sound argument, not just like the Mitzudos Tzion says, it means they called out B'lev Sholem. What could possibly be a sound argument that the Pamalia Sholmaila could not ignore? And that the Chazal come to the rescue and they tell us this argument. Obviously, we never think of this. Is what? How do they know? But they knew. And the sound argument is Tzadik v'rasha, olav v'she'enu olav, midarko levater. It's the tzadik, it's mevater. The olav is mevater. So Hashem, you also should be mevater. Don't get worked up about this. Yeah.
Isn't it extraordinary that we're learning from goyim?
That's the whole sefer. We discussed it in the sefer. There's the only navi. Besides that, Yon is the only navi we find that his mission was exclusively to talk to the non-Jews. Unless you want to take that pasuk that we learned in Malachim, everyone discusses that there it says that Yoina revealed that they would win a particular war. I forgot already the details.
Yeah, that doesn't rank nearly
anywhere near a whole sefer. And even that, we had a discussion of who says he actually said anything. It just was a mashal. Just like Yonah spoke about Nineveh, it was current. It was current events. You always discuss things that are relevant. Just like Yonah told the story where it was Nineveh and it was a gzer of Lara and it was Mahabich L'toiva, so too in that battle, the unexpected happened. But it doesn't necessarily mean that Yonah even said one word about the situation that was happening amongst the Jews. And that would mean the only thing Yonah ever said was a message to the Goyim. Really? Is there such a thing? You know, Bilam was a Goy, so he spoke to the Goyim. But Yonah was a Jew. He was from birth, we assume, all right? He was SFB. And over here, what's going on over here? His whole tafkid in life is to go and deal with the Goyim? My high. So this is a very big question. We had this discussion before. There is no really good, clear answer. But it's a chiddush that in Echlam, we're learning here so much halacha, so many things that strike a chord with us, but yet they're not us. They have very, very different standards.
Maybe the message is that these things are very extraordinary, but I think it was on the bottom of everything, there was a lack of sincerity by the Goyim. You see, ultimately, so maybe that's the lesson, that even though there was a lack of sincerity, you see how important it was.
It was the lowest level, as someone the common man can identify with. If the goyim do, the level of the goyim is the lowest point for a Jew. So if we can at least have a starting point, a point of reference, there's no limit to how great a Jew could become. But if you tell that to the average Jew, they're clueless. Give me a benchmark. You always, I used to work on computers. You always need benchmarks when you want to do marketing. You have to be able to compare your accomplishments relative to the standard. Someone in your market, in your field, in what the possibilities are, and what is average, what is below average. You need a benchmark. You can't begin to work without benchmarks. So here, this is the bare bones. I'll give you just something very simple. You know, a website. Okay, I used to work in marketing. A website. If a website the page does not load within 3 seconds, can you go all your everyone surfs the web? Something real simple. How fast does a web page load? If a web page does not load within 3 seconds, you're done. You're toast. You don't have a chance. Google today will not even index you. They will not even be machshev you to give you any standing on the first 30 results. What kind of joke is this? You can't get your act together to optimize your web page that it should load within 3 seconds. Now, what about 2 seconds? 1 second. Wow, you can get your page loaded in half a second? You're ahead of the game. Okay, you're ahead of the game. You need a benchmark. So the first thing is you do an SEO report. You know, they give you all of where are you holding versus the standard. What is the bare basics, the bottom, just to keep your head above water? In Achadami, the Goyim is just the bare basics. Here, as we mentioned, when they heard about what was going on, it's very, very important words. Pasuke Vayaminu Anshe Nineveh Bei Lokim. They had faith in Elokim. Elokim is always Midas Hadin. Klal Yisrael, there are much higher expectations for us. We discuss Yudke Vavke, it's Rachamim, there's Yeshurun, there is Shakai, there are many different levels. Elokim has a connotation of they were afraid of gloom and doom. They were afraid a bolt of lightning would come down, poof.
So that's also a high
much. Yeah, it is. But that's a very elementary level of faith.
We can do better.
But at least we need a benchmark. It's very important in life always to have, obviously everyone understands, you always want to know where do you stand relative to what is acceptable in society. I mean, obviously there are exceptions. You can't generalize. There's certain things that cannot be defined. There cannot be benchmarks in certain areas. But I mean, the whole world is based upon those standardized tests and you go to a doctor, a child. What percentile is a child in height, in weight, in all of his speaking? Does he speak at a certain age? There are certain simonim, mufhakim, that are all dependent upon what the standards are. And if you're not adhering to a certain basic standard, you have to, you gotta worry. What, maybe this is an exception. There are many exceptions, but you have to have someone to start with. And you're saying very good. That's really what Yon is. We always, it's a very good thing that a very big favor Chazal did for us is that we lay Yona on Yom Kippur right before Ne'ilah, and that allows us to define Yona. If Chazal have told us to lay Yona on Yom Kippur, so we can use that as a tool to understand what is the whole story all about. It's Yom Kippur is to do teshuva. The day is coming to an end. Did you do teshuva? Let's have the benchmark. Let's take out the benchmarks and let's see. Did we at least reach a level of teshuva equivalent to the non-Jews? Did we at least accomplish that? And if the answer is no, it's now been 40 days since Rosh Chodesh Elul, and we have not even come to that, then we know we're in trouble. It's like you're doing a test. You go and you submit an audit. It's an audit from Chazal. Where are we holding? It's a very big tov Chazal did for us. Let's continue the Mamari Chazal, page 435. So this is a very interesting idea. We'll just review. Vayikru Elokim b'choska. It means, according to the Chazal, it means they presented a very solid argument to Hashem that could not be ignored. Next words in the Chazal, Vayeshuva ish tvidaka harol vina chomas asher bekapeyem, Omar Rabbi Ami, Ein hageshamim ne'etzarim el b'avoyin gozal. This is something we know many, many times, all of Chazal, that rain is withheld because of theft. Shenemar, al kapayim ki so'or. Due to, Chazal explained, b'avoyin kapayim, due to the sin of the hand, meaning keep your hands to yourself. Don't take what does not belong to you, kisa'or, ein kapayim elochamas. Kapayim refers to a code word for theft, shenemar, umin hechamas asher bakapayim, the theft that is in their hands, the ein or elamotar. Or is a synonym for, is a code word for mod, shenemar, yofitz anan oiroi. Hashem, he disperses the cloud of his rain. Okay, so or, it's interesting why or is, it'd be more like, it's a little like a euphemism almost, because when it rains, it's dark. Clouds, they block the light. But the truth is, the rain is the ultimate light. Because when there's rain, there is growth, there is life. And when there's life, life is... That's the ultimate spiritual light. That's the ultimate Lichtigkeit when things grow and thrive and live. So on the one hand, it's very fascinating the way the Ribbono Shel Olam created the real or La Yehudim Hoisa Oira. Oira Zu Toira. Okay, so you see, Toira is life. It's everything. It's the whole world. It's the ultimate or. But yet, R literally means light. When there are the way Hashem created the source of life, which means matar, there's no matar, everything is going to die and wither and disappear. It's through the obstruction of light. Isn't that amazing?
You need both. You need the matar, you need the rain, and you need the or. Without either one,
well, but it comes at different points in time. The evaporation, the Eid Yalam in Haaretz. But ultimately, for the rain to descend to this earth, the way Hashem created this world is there has to be a cloud. The essence of a cloud is something which obscures, blocks light. But yet, the matter that comes from that cloud is the makar of the... the metaphor of what R really is. There's the literal R, and there's the metaphor of R. The literal definition of R means light. what or means in as a metaphor means la yehudim hoisa oira. Oira zu toira. Toira is Bereishis Bar Olakim. The whole world only came into existence through and for the purpose of Toira. So isn't that amazing that the way the oira, the metaphor of oira will only exist is only through the cancellation or the to obscure, to prevent the or from coming, the rays of light coming down to this earth. It's blocked by the clouds. So in this passage, they have many things like that. The word or here is it's a metaphor. It's the opposite of what it really is. And here it says, "V'ein or elamot shnemar yofitz anan oiroi." Hashem disperses the clouds, his rain clouds. He prevents, and that pasuk means Hashem is preventing it from raining. So here Chazal tell us that the chamas here is the chamas asher bekapem. This pasuk is the source of the word kaf, is the metaphor for theft. We're quoting a Chazal, and Chazal are using this pasuk as the very important source. A kaf is a metaphor for theft because it's used in the same sentence as min hachamos asher bekapehem. Okay, next, Chazal, my min hacham, and go for my min hachamos asher bekapehem. Amar Shmuel, we discussed this yesterday. They went to a very, very great extreme. Amar Shmuel, afilu gozal morish. Morish is a fancy word. Okay, Oxford Dictionary for Hebrew, for Talmud, is abim. A beam. And meaning, even if a person, he took a beam and he built the beam into his home, they would disassemble, take apart their home, and return the beam to the rightful owner. Uvinoi bebira mekakea kol habira kula. He would disassemble the entire building. Umachazir morish lebalav, to return the beam. And we know that Chazal have taught us, do not do this. Chazal made an enactment that if a person steals a beam, as long as you did not make a significant change by cutting it up or beautifying it, the halacha is you do not return the beam. You return its cash value. Because if you would be required to return the beam itself and disassemble your entire home, people would say it's too difficult, forget about it. I am not going to be mekayim the mitzvah of v'heishiv es hagzeitla. So in order to make life easy for us, Chazal made a takana that you do not have to return the actual beam. And they use the koich of hefker, bezd in hefker, to you are the owner of this beam, crime pays. Okay, you actually, you're a ganef, crime pays, you get to keep it, but you have to return. You have to return its cash out. But no, that's not so possible because the person would prefer to have his beam. It's extortion. Okay, it's extortion almost. Person steals something. I mean, what is extortion? I'll pay you whatever you want. How much does this cost? This cost $1,000. I'll pay you $2,000. And I want it. I'm not selling it for all the money in the world. Well, yes, you are. You don't have a choice. Market value is $1,000, I'll give you $2,000. And you take it away from the person, you give him $2,000. That's called chamas. That's extortion. And that is morning, and that is a very severe avera. That's gezel. It's the same exact thing. If a person does not want to relinquish his property for all the money in the world, you have no right to force him to do so. So the chazal over here, it's an incredible chiddush. It's an awesome chiddush that if a person steals a beam and has not made a change in the beam, and according to halacha, you'll be required to take apart your entire home and return it. They said no, because you're not going to go, people are not going to want to go be mekayem that mitzvah. And over here, Chazal went out of the way to say that when it came to the city of Nineveh, they went to the extreme. They went to the extreme and they disassemble their homes and they return the beams. And you show this is not so good because look what obvious. Look at the big picture. It always lingers in our minds that Nineveh, the teshuvah that they did in Nineveh was short-lived. They did teshuvah and Hashem canceled the gezerah, but not that much later they went back to their old ways and Hashem issued a new gezerah and they were obliterated. And we spent a lot of time on this. It was 120 years from the time of Yonah. Oid Arboim, Rabbi Mayevsky mentioned this, we had in the Chazal Lost, the Barbanel, Oid Arboim Shana, Yom, Yom, Yom LaShana, 40 days, Otis Bigamatria, 80, 120 years from the
well,
moment.
Well, he quotes various psukim that Yamim means.
Yamim, and so we had this Chazal that in 120 years that it was destroyed. Why? They went back to their old ways. Now here's the question. What would have been, we always find this very common in dieting. People go on a crash diet, right? You know, they're overweight, and then they go on a starvation diet, and they lost 50 pounds, they lost 100 pounds. You look at them, not bad, very impressive. And then you meet them a few months later, and they're even heavier than they were originally. What happened? This is my simchol yom. I've seen this. Everyone has seen this. What we know by ourselves, okay? We know this. What happened? If you're an extremist, anything you do in the extreme can have a negative effect. Person needs to lose weight, unfortunately, and he goes on a starvation diet, and he has the koyach, the stamina, to go to the extreme. He loses 100 pounds. But, you know, it wasn't easy. It was painful. And we don't know how the mind works, but there's a resentment. The mind, the body resents the fact that it was tortured. And what does it do? Okay, you have your fun. You go lose your 100 pounds. After you calm down, I will come back again to the vengeance with a taiva to eat like you never had before. And now, when the day is over, you'll be 50 pounds more than when you started this whole plan. Because when a person goes to an extreme, it's just very dangerous. It's very dangerous. So here, who says what they did was so good? This is what bothers me. Here, they went out of their way, a takonas morish. Chazal have made for us takonas morish. If you steal a beam and you put it into your house, guess what? You can keep it. Don't be such a tzaddikal. Al tehi tzaddik harbe. You're a ganef? No, so you're a ganef. Pay for it. Don't try to go to an extreme to take apart your whole house and return it. Because why? What was Chazal I'm suggesting? Because if you're going to be such a tzaddik, so the Pashup Shad is, what's the Pashup Shad? Pashup Shad is, not everyone can do that. 80% of the population, if they want to do tshuva, they'll only do tshuva if they can pay for it. If you're going to make them take apart their house, they're going to say, sorry, this is not for me. Right? That's the Pashup Shad. I want to suggest, no, there's another pshat. Even the 20% who are willing to go through the effort of taking apart their home and returning the beam, it's like a crash diet. They resent it. They resent the fact that they were humiliated to such a degree where they took apart their whole house and they had to go return the beam. Everyone saw what happened and they're left with nothing and they have to start all over again. They resent it. So then when all the dust settles, they go back to their old ways. And they don't just next time steal a beam. They'll rob the bank. They'll steal, who knows what they'll do. They'll go to a greater extreme in when they'll return to their life of being a ganav, they'll go to even to a greater extreme. It's very dangerous to go to an extreme even for good. Because you go, it's a sign of instability. And when a person is not stable, you're not stable in one direction, you can be unstable in another direction. It's a very dangerous thing. So here we find the goy. It's also something that you find very much when Chazal discuss goyim. Goyim only know how to deal with extremes. It's very hard to find moderation. A goy, if he wants to bring a korban, what's the korban he brings? A carbon oila. The carbon oila is the carbon of a religious fundamentalist. I don't even say that, just nasty words. But it's an extreme type of carbon. You get nothing out of it. Oila is completely burned on the Mizbeach. All to Hashem, and the hide goes to the Kohanim. You get nothing. When you bring a carbon shlamim, you get a good meal.
But 2 days.
What? For 2 days, you get a good meal at least. You get a good meal. There's a portion for you, a portion for Hashem, a portion for the Kohanim. Everyone is happy. When the day is over, everyone is happy. A goy doesn't understand what it means to bring a karbon shalomim. When a non-Jew brings a karbon, he only brings a karbon oila. It's extreme. That's not yadus. Yadus is not, by the Catholics, I mean, a priest can't get married. I mean, celibacy, I mean, what is it all about? Because if you're serving God, you can't be nene, you can't have any pleasures from this world. It's a very noble idea, such a concept, to be a parush, to be completely separated from the tanug ilam hazeh. But that's not the way that's not yadus. It doesn't work. The Torah says that's not the Torah. There's no such thing as the Torah. The whole Torah, there is absolutely no such thing of behaving in such a fashion. The Kohen Gadol cannot go into the Kodesh HaKadosh Yom HaKippurim Mechab V'Klal Yisrael unless he's married. So what does it mean that he's married? It means he's a healthy person with a Yetzer Hara and he has a wife. He has Pas B'Saloi. He's a healthy
sure
man. What?
You have to make sure that
He's married. Okay, it makes sure. I was once with the guy. I mean, this is really old. I was with the guy, and the guy was complaining. I know he was talking to someone next to me, and the person next to me was, I don't know, he was really a rav, but he was definitely like a madrich, and he was telling him that his yetzer hara is just out of control, and he has really hard time with different matters relating to. What he sees and what he does, because he has a very, and he says it's very hard for me. So this fellow, it really blew my mind how he responded. He said to him, "You know, you should be very happy, because you know what that means? It means Baruch Hashem, you're a healthy person, because there are a lot of sickos out there in this world who, unfortunately, have very different types of taivas. For all who know, the fact that you have a taiva for an isha." For Nashim at this, that's normal. Baruch Hashem, you're a healthy male adult. This is tremendous, and you should be very thank Hashem every time you have a taiva. You should give shevach v'odah, because we see today, Rachman l'tzlan, what's going on in this world, what it means to be a sicko. And you know, I was like, wow, you know, this, and the person was blown away. And it affected him. I saw it. It made a difference in don't look at this as something you have a problem. That's right. You got to deal with it. But don't look at this as a problem that's there's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with you. This is the way you're supposed to be. You have to deal with the issue. You got a problem, okay? So there are techniques. There are things that you can do. But there's something normal about it. So the goyim over here, they're going to an extreme. They are returning the beams. They're taking down their homes. When you learn this sefer at face value, I remember the first time I heard this, I was, wow, blown away. Such tzaddikim. Where do you find such tzaddikim that are willing to take apart their whole house to return the screw? I went into the hardware store. No one was watching. I took a couple of screws I put in my pocket. I used those screws to go, I don't know, for something in the middle, in the walls, to put the outlet. So now I'm going to take apart the whole house to return those few screws. Wow, what a tzaddik. Is this really right? It's not necessarily a proper approach. This is a dangerous approach. Chazal don't want you to do that. They don't want you to be an extremist. Because if you're going to be an extremist, you're going to be like Nineveh. This didn't last very long. This Mahalik was a spurt. Oh, it was a crash diet. And then what happened? They went back to their old ways. And what happened? Then Hashem obliterated them off the face of the earth. So it's not necessarily a Mila when we read over here that they did the return. Afilu gozal morish. Three lines from the bottom on the Likutei. Koira ubeno bebira mekakeh kol abir kulu machzir marish lebolov. Okay, next Chazal. Vayeshuv yishmidar kol harua minachamet shebekapeim. Amar Rabbi Yochanan mashchoy bekaf yedeim hechziroi Mashek b'shida v'teva migdal lo yichziru. Here over here, Chazal are openly coming over here to criticize the people of Nineveh. Why does it need to say Asher bikka pehem? So here they learned only what they could not get away with when they were ordered it by the governor, by the government. No, he caught me. No, boishes ponim kiyimot say ganav. But Ganav is embarrassed when. Okay, but what I got stashed away in my Swiss bank accounts, okay, my cryptocurrency accounts, my bitcoins, and my who knows what, all those things that no one knows about. That the Sheda Umigdal Loy Hechzir the Yisham over here is giving us a dark view at Sefer Yoni. You see, let's say you learn in Ian, we always look at Sefer Yoni. You taught children, it's purely positive. Peaches and roses. It's not like that. There's a whole new side to Sefer Yona that's very dark. It's dark mitzad Yona. It's dark mitzad Nineveh. Not everything in life is always. The Gra, I stopped doing the Gra because the Gra was getting way too esoteric for it. I just want to do the Hagdama. The Gra is very well known. The Gra is known, it's very famous. The Gra and Yonah has a very esoteric insights into the Neshama and the Guf. So we did the Hagdama. And again, and then I every so often peek over here. It's very like, very mystical, so I don't want to spend too much time on it. Yeah.
No, he says about the Matar with Gneva, the Targum Yonison says. By my signal.
Yeah.
He says, Arum Bechoyve Ganavaya, Kafna Nafkalama. Because of Gneva,
the rain,
Kafna, a drought comes.
By Loy Tigna, we in the Aseres Adibras?
Yeah.
In the Aseres Adibras.
And the Taglianist always says, what is
the reason of each one? That the Gneva is the cause of poverty. The cause of a lack of rain. Absolutely. That's the marble. Okay? The marble. The world was destroyed. Chamas Chamas Kimaretz Chamas Mipneihem. And what's so important is when the pasuk begins, it says Ki Hishris Kol Bosar Darkoi Al Haaretz. And there Chazal emphasized what was all the averos that was out on the outside? Arayos. The main avera was Arayos. That every creature, every person, man was living with Esha Seish, and the animals were having relations with their different meaning. And yet, at the end of the day, Hashem did not destroy the world for those reasons. Hashem destroyed the world because Kimola Kate Kol Basar Bolifanai. Kimola Haaretz Chomos Mipneihem. Always like to joke, and not joke around. I always tell them 100 times. You open up the Flavish Jewish Journal, and look at all the problems, just all the advertisements. Talking during davening, tznius, lashon hara, internet, people spending money like a fire hydrant on all mishigasim, jealousy. Everything you read a page, another thing, another problem. That's why we have all the problems. Learn from the pardon in the marble. The marble, there's only one thing that's missing in the Flatbush Jewish Journal. People are cheating on their taxes. People are ripping off their fellow man. That you're not going to find in the Flatbush Jewish Journal. Tznius, talking during davening, internet, spending money on going to hotels. I don't know what's wrong with that. I don't know. You name it, you go through. But you're never going to find an advertisement that people should be honest. Don't try to nickel and dime. Don't nickel and dime your fellow man. And don't cheat on your taxes. Okay? That's and Mabel? Ki hishchis kol basar darkei al aretz. Gave you the whole flap of Jewish Journal was there. And then what's the end? The end is, Hashem says to Noach, Kates kol basar bo lefonai. Why? From all the reasons, Kimola Haaretz Chomos Mipneihem. Rashi, Leinechtam Gzardin Ela Al Hagozel. The money you have in your hands, is it yours or is it stolen? That's the bottom line. Everything else is just smoke and mirrors. The ikar.
What Rabbi Kalis mentioned, Lo Yisigna from the Seres HaDibra, is that really kidnapping.
Right, kidnapping. So it's not so pashut. Okay, obviously, even though it's kidnapping, but kidnapping is everything in the Aseres HaDibra is koilel kol haTorah kula, and there are many forms of theft. There are a lot. If you break down all the mitzvahs into different categories, so lo tignoiv is koilel kidnapping, and then there is by extension
the most extreme.
But also, a lot of people say that litigna, it's kidnapping, but it's coiled within it all forms of theft. Which Targum Yonah is telling us the reason. When it comes to theft, that is the cause of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he withholds matter from this world. Okay, let's now take a look at, we didn't do the Malbim. Okay, let's take a look at, we didn't even do the Radak, I don't believe. Let's do the Radak, because we went, once we saw the Rashi, according to the Chazal, so we skipped right into the Mamari Chazal. Let's go back in order now. Let's, at least our order, let's look at the Radak. Radak Pasik Ches. Very, very short. Vayiskasa B'choska B'cholev. The Radak learns, B'choska, identical to the Mitzudo Sion, it means with all of their heart. Midar Koich HaRa'osh or Averois. Okay, umina chamas who connected kulam, but all of nigzra gezerasam chamas is the worst. As we just finished explaining. Okay, now we go to there's something more. Right now we take a look at the Malbim. Malbim pasuk ches vayiskasu gam bikisi asak yichlelu gam abehema. So he says something like bikish, which you would not assume to be correct, if not for the Malbim's understanding that vayiskasu means even the animals. Okay, sakim ha'adam. That's what it says. Vayiskasu sakim ha'adam v'havim. That's what the pasuk says. Deny it. I'm sorry. The pasuk says they put sackcloth on the animals. I guess to arouse the hearts. It was a visual aid in order to wake up people to the tshuva. Aleph tefila. Voice of tefila sheyiku el elokim bechoska beis teshuva. Sheyashuv kolish midarkoi hara uminachamas ki alachamas ein moil avidu veharata ad sheyashiv esachamas hanimsa bechapav el bola. That we all know that a navera ben adam lachaveroi, you're not going to be spared unless you are mefayes your friend. And the first thing to do to mefayes your friend is to return what does not belong to you. Let's look at the Ben Bachya pasuches. Even the animals they follow the same rules. No eating for the animals. Very, like we discussed already twice. Very interesting. Everyone has to cry out with strength. What does that mean? Mitam hamelech mitzvos, due to the council, the advice of the king and his mitzvahs, his command, loy midrach emunasam ki abehema vaketanim ein lochem das liyosim kadim elu lokim mitrach yira, oy mitrach emuna, oy mitrach das avol tzakim boichem miyalim b'chol koicham minatzar asher heim oimdim boy. So this is something which is very interesting, very bizarre, is that the animals and the children have no clue what's going on, absolutely no clue. Why then are they crying out? They're hungry. They are uncomfortable, wearing sackcloth, and they're just crying out in pain, just without connecting the pain to Hashem. V'loy timsa b'chol nevuah zo tefila le'anshei Nineveh. Now here, we had this before. Rabbeinu Bachya is l'shitasa. We had this last time as well. Yonah was never instructed here, at least in the second nevuah, to tell the people to do teshuvah. Yonah was only instructed to tell the people there is a gzar din in Shamayim that Nineveh will be destroyed. And basically he's telling them it's too late. There's really nothing you can do. Why then would we discussed this last time, why then would there be a point in letting them know that they're all going to die? Well, the answer is there is something to be put, the person, there is an inyan of being in a frame of mind before a person dies. It's not a good thing, Chazal say, for a person to die suddenly, without knowing that his that is leaving this world. Even when a person is in a state where he's about to leave, there is a very big advantage in knowing that he's going to die. It puts him in a frame of mind, which we don't know how these things work, but appears to be from Chazal a very, very great advantage for the neshama to be aware that it's now leaving this world, and to have that sensitivity, to have that perspective, and that humility, and it does wonders for the neshama. And this, by the way, nogei halacha lemaisa. Very much nogei halacha lemaisa when it comes to people who are rachmana litzlan, terminally ill. And the question is, should the family tell the patient? Okay, there are always big dilemmas when it comes to these issues. Person is an elderly person, and their health care is being taken care of by a child, by a family member, by a proxy, and the person really has no idea what's going on. And the question is, should that person be informed of what exactly the situation is? And sometimes they don't ask, and sometimes they demand to know. And information is deliberately withheld from them. So the question is that proper? Okay, these are questions which are very, very weighty questions. And if not for these Maamari Chazal, you can argue very strongly, what you don't know is good for you. Why cause a person pain, mental anguish, but let him know the severity of his condition? What's he going to do? He'll get depressed. It may even accelerate his death. He'll give up hope. It'll accelerate his death. But mitzad sheni, what's the other side of the coin? The other side of the coin is that if you are a religious Orthodox Jew, okay, I have to say religious, because just the Orthodox is religious, but if you're religious, Chazal have told us over and over again that there's something called vidui. There's a very great advantage to know that the end is near and to recite vidui and all that it entails. And again, it's just a matter of emuna. It does wonders for the neshama. So here, that's really what you learn in Yonah, according to Rabbeinu Bachya. Rabbeinu Bachya made this point last time. We learned this last week. Rabbeinu Bachya made the point. The people over here, Yonah, Hashem says, Yonah delayed. If Yonah would not have delayed, would have been listened to Hashem the first time, he would have been able to tell them to do teshuva, to repent. Yonah delayed. Yonah outsmarted Hashem, kaviyachal. They were not informed. There was a delay. So they continued to do more averos. And now the gezerah was put into motion. It's too late. So now Hashem is sending Yonah a second time, but it's too late. No. It's too late for them to do teshuva, to reverse what's going to happen, or at least Talderech HaTeva, Tshuva can always reverse, but it's much, much harder. But there's an advantage of going to the people of Yonah and informing them that they're going to die, so they can say vidui. Okay, until now, Yonah was being told to go to them, they tell him to do Tshuva, so they should not die. Now, Yonah's being sent to them to tell them vidui, to tell them they're going to die, so they should say vidui.
Okay, he says vidui?
Obviously, yeah. Obviously, yeah. That's what we learn from this. Is that, at least according to Rabbeinu Bachya, maybe he'll show me. Okay, the goyim, okay, whatever it is, but over here, from a Jewish perspective, at least according to Rabbeinu Bachya, I know every Rishon Yoshua will read, you'll show me 10 that say just the opposite. But over here on the page, or we learn last, at least according to Rabbeinu Bachya, this is what Yonah is being sent to do. Not that they should do teshuva, but they should say, vidui, we're going to die, let us acknowledge that we are sinners, and we're going to die, and that will be for them some type of tikkun for their neshama in the next world in ways that we really are clueless. But we have emunah that there is something to this. And he makes the point here again. In this paragraph he says, V'la three lines from the top of the Rabbeinu Bachya, V'la simsa b'chol nevua zo tefil lanche ninveh. We don't find in the nevua. We don't find Yonah in his nevua a prayer, praying for them. Avol haskamosa va'asosam, the haskama and the eights of the council. Haskama means, I mean, let's leave those words. Kulo hoysa lehatsir atav abhemo v'alivam ulahatsmiyam lefi she'enam yoidim u'uma ve'en lechem das ula yirachem o'yisamu lukim b'glolam u'mashlohoye mispalalim lefi shlohoye darkam lispalal v'afal pichein richem Hashem. Nevertheless, we learn over here the impossible happened. Hashem rachmanis upon them. Alem kishavu ish midarko yehara'ah. They did this on their own. Basically, the people over here, they tortured themselves. Why? I don't know. Is that really explaining why they did this? The king commanded. It's not clear. Rebbeinu Bachya is a little cryptic at times.
Aren't they trying to just avert the?
No, I mean, now he's saying over here is the children fasting is meaningless. The animals fasting is also meaningless. So what is it about? So if you would say, it's like I told you, it's a visual technique. Like when it comes to Avelus, a child who's not chayv in Avelus is still told to sit on a low chair. Everyone should not take a haircut. Everyone should look at him and have agmas nevesh. Of course, you know, the psychologists have to tell you today, make sure you're not abusing him, right? Make sure the child's not going to be psychologically damaged by everyone looking at him. Put that aside. As long as the child's mamash, no clue what's going on, totally oblivious what's going on, it's not for him, it's for us. But it doesn't say that. Okay, that would be the simple understanding, the reason why we want the animals to be tortured. Rashi really, the Chazal. Rashi says they torture the animals as a technique. As a technique. What's the technique? The mothers are crying, the children are crying. Go learn all of the research. Go to the Gemara. Figure out what it means there. But it's a technique. It's a technique in the adults pleading with Hashem, save us. They're using the animals as a tool for themselves.
I think what they're saying is they didn't know the concept of davening. So what did they do? They used the animals and the children as, you know, since they're crying, people, you know, you see a child crying.
Right, right. So, yeah, but it's not what it says, really. Right, that's what I like to say. But it's not only what he says.
That's what Rashi says, that they're separated.
Rashi, right, that's Rashi. Right, that's Rashi. Rashi is Chazal. But that's not really what he says. Go back and look at the words of Gev. V'loy simsa b'chol nevu zot fidli anshe ninveh. We don't find this in the who's nevuah. That's Yonah's nevuah. Aval haskamosam va'atzasam. The collective understanding goal of the people was kula haya lahatzir to cause pain, hataf va'abehema ulariva mulatzmiyam to starve them, lefisha einam yoidim uma, because the children and the animals know from nothing. Ve'elcham das. They have no one. Ulai yirachem oisam huelokim biglolam. Hashem la rachmonis upon us for their sake. Adam ubehema toshia Hashem. What did Chazal say? Sometimes the only reason why Hashem does not destroy the world is because of the animals. The animals didn't do anything wrong, so why should the animals suffer? So therefore, because Hashem has Rachmanis, Zirachamav al kol ma'asav, so because the animals don't deserve to suffer, so we are riding on their coattails, so to speak. We are only, Hashem is giving us a pass in the merit of the animals. Toiv la tzadik, v'toiv la shcheinav. Who's the tzadik? The animals. So we get a pass. We get a free pass because the animals did not do anything wrong and Hashem doesn't have to destroy them. So Hashem and Eli won't destroy us either. And that's basically what he's saying. Is Hashem will be the people of the adults. They're not davening to Hashem. They don't know from. They don't even know how to daven. They never taught what it means to daven. What they're doing is they're taught. It's like really, it's similar to what Rashi's saying, but it's not the way Rashi in the Gemara learned Shah in this Gemara. They're torturing their children and the animals. And Hashem is saying, what are you doing? What are you torturing these innocent creatures? What are they doing? They didn't do anything wrong. I don't want them to suffer. So you know what? I'll leave you alone. so you'll stop torturing your children and your animals. You can do that. A person can negotiate with, can do that to Hashem, could manipulate Hashem.
Well,
very bizarre.
It's
very bizarre. It's a very bizarre thing to go make demands of Hashem in such a fashion. Who told you to do this? I didn't tell you to do this. You want to be Meshuggah? So you be Meshuggah. Don't blame me for your Meshuggahs. What are you doing over here? And yeah, he's saying it worked. Okay, since we just really discussed yesterday. Okay, let's finish up over here. Now, min ha-chamas asher bekapehem hoyu machzidim kol gezele v'chol chamas shahoyu nimsa biyodam la-baleim ba-amir rabbeseinu zechon levracha ki hoyu teshuvasam gedoyla v'chazaka b'inyin achzores ha-gezeleis. It was chazaka. Ki loyga ki im gazal echam yam morish, the case of the morish, the beam. Ubinoy bebira mekakea kol ha-bira, they would disassemble the entire building of machzir morish l'bola v'yavish yaspik loy min adamim. They could have really just given back the money. It was not necessary to do so, yet they went the extra mile. They did things, they did not. So the thing over here is they did teshuvah. That they did. They did teshuvah by returning, by davening to Hashem, according to the Rabbeinu Bachya. It's very fascinating. Rabbeinu Bachya says they really did not daven, does not say here anywhere that they actually daven to Hashem. All it says is they covered themselves with sackcloth, Adam v'Habehema, including the children, and they called out to Hashem b'choska. Choska, he learns to mean, okay, choska doesn't mean, he says over here, doesn't mean that they actually davened. Choska means is that they cry, he learns choska means, he takes the word choska and he puts it, it's a third translation of choska. According to Rabbeinu Bachya, okay, he's putting the word chaska together with the teshuva, the chamas. They return gezela to an extreme, the chaska, by taking out the beams of their own homes. So in Maskana, we have really three translations of the word chaska. According to the Mitzudos and Rashi, the Mitzudos, and Radak, Choska means belev shalem. According to Chazal, Gemara Masechta Tainus and the Yerushalmi, Choska means they presented a winning argument. And according to the Rabbeinu Bachya, the Choska means they it refers to the Geneva, the Gezela. They returned the theft with an intensity that we've never seen before, where they actually disassemble their own homes to return the item. Okay, it's there. We're going to stop over here. Tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, we're going to do just one more, the Chemes Anoch, the Chida, and then we'll move on.